Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
As Christians, we know that marriage is a covenant. It's a commitment made between one man and one woman in the presence of God, family, and friends. This commitment is to remain unbroken until death. But contemporary culture doesn't view marriage this way, does it? Things have certainly changed over the past several years when it comes to defining marriage. And we have unfortunately brought this attitude into the church. I have many men that come into my office and confess their sexual sin, specifically their porn use. But then a lot of them will proceed to tell me that they have never or will ever cross over into having a real affair, into committing adultery. Well, I'm excited to have Dave Carter as my guest this week. Dave is an author and pastor, along with a particular type of counselor. He's an adultery, recovery, and prevention counselor. Dave is also the author of 5 books, and this week we will be discussing his latest, Anatomy of an Affair, how affairs, attractions, and addictions develop, and how to guard your marriage against them. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, the 2 factors for first-time affairs. Number 2, why stress is a significant contributor to committing adultery. And number 3, why adultery is a mood-altering experience. Today's show is titled, Adultery, a Distraction from Ordinary Life. Hey, Dave, my first question might be a little silly, but I'm just, when do affairs actually begin? Is that the moment things start to happen, or is there some type of relationship that happens before that?
Well, typically speaking, there is a relationship that has a buildup to it. Now, it comes in different formats and looks differently in different classes of infidelity. And there are some of those experiences where people are in like a class one, which is an overnight or a one night stand type thing. That's very quick and urgent, usually with no relationship. We have an illustration of that in scriptures with David and Bathsheba. There wasn't any relationship between the two of them, and it just happened within an hour or two. But normally, it happens with the development of a relationship. And even more important than the relationship, it oftentimes is the environment. And most affairs, first-time affairs, are about comfort and distraction. And that tells us primarily that there is a stressful environment going on. In fact, some of the greatest research ever done in this field started back in the 70s it's called misattribution of attraction, meaning that people are attributing attraction when there are other things are going on in their lives. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
Okay. This researcher built 2 footbridges that went up high in the air and came down the other side. They were identical. They had a visual barrier between the two of them, so you couldn't see them. He brought in the only difference between the 2 bridges was one of them was bolted down, snug, tight, steady. The other one was put together kind of loosely, wasn't going to fall, but it was very frightening to walk across. He brings in 20 college guys, and he puts an average college co-ed at the end of the bridge, walks 20 guys across the bridge, a sturdy bridge, one at a time, asks them to evaluate how attractive this college co-ed was. He brings them back again later on, has them walk across the shaky bridge, same college co-ed, same evaluation. The woman was statistically significantly more beautiful when they walked across the shaky bridge. So when you're going through stress, high levels of stress, unusual stress, it's stress you don't have any normal history with to cover and to help yourself. Somebody walks across your field of vision, looks like a source of escape, source of comfort, source of understanding, and you're in trouble.
Could you say the same thing with trying to the distraction that you mentioned there, that we want a distraction from the reality of our own life?
Oh, exactly. That's the distraction part. The experience is so stressful and the environment is so stressful, we can walk into our own little world with this new girlfriend or boyfriend or just friend, period. Where lots of people will say, we're just friends. We haven't done anything wrong. But in that world, you have your own little environment. And this is a mood-altering experience. And as with any mood-altering experience, there is the issue of becoming addicted to it or cultivating it or using it too much.
That word addiction is a funny word, Dave. How can we get addicted to this experience?
Well, don't try to find out.
I've been there and done that, and I'm not going back, sir. That's for sure.
Okay. But basically, we all like mood alteration at different times.
Sure, yeah.
Even a simple cup of coffee or something to help us relax. So we can misuse those things, even exercising too much, because it alters our mood and alters our body chemistry. So this is another one of those kind of experiences. And I'll give you a great illustration of this. The car I used to drive in high school just sold at Barrett's auto auction for $200,000.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
I want to tell you, it wasn't that great of a car, okay? But the point is, that bald-headed, pot-bellied man who bought that car, when he sits in that car, how old do you think he is?
Oh, he's 16, isn't he?
He is, and he's dragging Main Street. That's right.
Wow.
Because that's what you do at 16 with those kind of cars.
I bet you wish you had it.
So he's buying it for the feelings. He's buying it for the memories.
Wow. You know, what are, when we think of adultery and affairs and all young couples, you know, there's just no way this could ever happen. You talk about in your book some of the main reasons that married couples begin to let their guard down. What are some of those reasons?
Well, one of the most common ones, I would say, and you know, I've been married 51 years. I've gone through this myself, you know, this cycle where you can kind of take each other for granted. You know, you can get so caught up in schedules. We had four kids. My wife and I were dual career family. So we were very busy, and you begin to just function, and the kids kind of consume you, and the kids' schedules kind of consume you, and you don't take time for each other. You just try to make it through the day and through the month with whatever needed, and hopefully without any kind of hurt or abandonment or anything else going on with the kids. So that's just the way life goes when you have children. And I tell couples all the time, if you're going to have time for yourselves, you will have to steal it from your children. Mm. They will never offer it to you. They will never give it to you. They'll never say, Mom and Dad, you've had a really tough week taking care of us. You know, why don't you just take $100, $200 and go out to dinner together and a movie, okay? And then come home all refreshed.
Right.
Children are narcissistic and egocentric from the womb. They never do that.
Wow. So children obviously being a major reason that parents let their guard down.
Well, they let their guard down, but they also feel like they've been let down. Hmm. That they're not the supreme person in their spouse's eyes. They might become just a housewife or the homeschool mom, or they might become just a paycheck, and they feel less than significant. They're not at the top of the totem pole right next to God where they should be.
Mm. So if our spouse is so preoccupied with children, then it's I don't want to say easy, but it's easier to notice someone who's attractive and to let those feelings start to bubble up. Is that right?
Well, yeah, although that usually starts with a vulnerability. I don't think any spouse's behavior, rarely anyway, makes anyone do anything like adultery. But I do think spouses' treatment of their spouse can create vulnerability, can create need, can create something that wouldn't maybe happen at another season of life. You know, the devil, back at, when he was tempting Jesus in Matthew 4, Luke 4, after he had tempted Jesus, it says in the scripture a really significant statement that we sometimes just overlook. it says the devil left him for a more opportune season.
Yeah.
So seasons ebb and flow in your life. What you were like and how close you were 5 years ago might not be anything like you are today. So marriage is not static. It changes constantly. And if you're living and operating on a marriage that you think you know because you knew it well maybe 4, 5, or 6 years ago, I would tell you you're operating in the dark.
King Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away. There's a time to search and there's a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these gifts are gifts from God." You know, this passage confirms what Dave was saying about the seasons in our marriage, how they ebb and flow. And just because you were close to your spouse several years ago, it doesn't mean that you are today. So today is a good day to check yourself. How is your stress level? How are those factors that Dave talked about in your life? Well, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with Dave Carter and his new book, Anatomy of an Affair: How Affairs, Attractions, and Addictions Develop, and How to Guard Your Marriage Against Them. Well, friend, we are getting closer and closer and closer to Christmas, aren't we? Pray that you do have a merry, merry Christmas. And lastly, just wanted to plant the seed here. If God nudges you to make a year-end donation to any ministry or organization, please consider donating a tax-deductible gift to God, Sex, and You. You're listening to this program and this podcast, and prayerfully you've looked at new materials through our books and our workbooks. You're listening for a reason, and I pray that we are ministering to you by the grace of God. We're also reaching 80 countries around the world, and we're praying that we can reach the other 80 plus. How cool would that be? And to do that, we could really use your help to do so. So you can become a Purity partner with us for $1 a day, and you can do that by visiting the website at dustindaniels.org/give. Since you're on there, also click on store, and you can check out those books and those workbooks that I mentioned. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor, and you can email me those questions at dustindaniels.org. Jesus says in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God." How cool is that? Oh, thank you, Lord. I pray that you walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. Hold on to Him with everything that you have, everything that you've got. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.